us to take our Bibles tonight, folks, and let's open them, please, to the Word of God, to the Book of Romans. Book of Romans in your Bible, please. And we're going to look at Romans chapter number 13. 13 of Romans in your Bible tonight. All right, Romans chapter 13. And we're going to look at this passage of Scripture, Ephesians chapter, Romans and chapter number 13 in your Bible tonight, if you will, please. Romans chapter number 13, and we're going to start reading with verse number 11, I believe. Romans chapter number 13 and verse number 11. And I want to just call your attention to our book table, my wife's book table back there in the back. And she has a lot of good things for families back there. And she has some great music CDs, two with just piano, two children's music, very edifying music. And so we encourage you to stop by and take a look at those CDs at the back table for children and then for adults as well. And then we have some old reprints of Christian character building stories. They're the very nice-looking covers. So they're old reprints of Christian character stories, building stories on the back table. Also, we have some dramatized audios. Dramatized audios. We like to listen to those, and they're really challenging. So we encourage you to stop by and take a look at the things on the back table. All right, Romans chapter number 13, please, in your Bible. And we're going to look at this passage of Scripture. Romans chapter number 13 in your Bible, if you will, tonight. Here's what the Bible says, reading verse 11. And that knowing the time, that is now high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let's put on the armor of light. Let's walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Speak to our hearts now. And Lord, save that soul that's here without Jesus Christ. Stir the heart of every Christian. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. You know, I remember when I was a young boy, my mother would come back at the back of the trailer and she would often say, "Wake up, Gary. It's time to wake up." Well, you know, I like my sleep, and so I just kind of ignore it. I just kind of roll right over and go back to sleep. And then she'd come back, and she would say a little bit louder, a little bit more forcefully. She'd say, "Gary, wake up, wake up. It's time to get up." And so, you know, I would drag myself out of bed. And you know, then I would make a big mistake. I'd look back at my bed. Amen. You know, that's not what you should do if you want to get up. You don't look back at the bed. You know, it's easy to crawl back in, isn't it? And so I just crawl right back into that bed, and I go back to sleep. And then my mother would come back the third time, and she'd say a little bit more forcefully, and more authoritatively, and more with, you know, if you don't get up, something tragic's going to happen. You know, you ever had your mother say that way to you? Well, she'd say that way, and I think, I better get up, you know, because I don't like tragedies to happen. Amen? And I don't enjoy those kind of things. And so I would get up. Well, you know, I believe that this is what the Lord is saying to you and me. Wake up. It's time to wake up spiritually. We need to wake up. We need to wake up to the Lord. We need to wake up to God's Word. We need to wake up spiritually in our lives. We're sleeping spiritually. You know, sometimes, you know, we hear that. The preacher preaches, wake up, and And you know, we don't pay attention, right? Just kind of like I didn't pay attention. I just kind of rolled over and went back to sleep, you know? And then the matter comes a little bit more forcefully. Maybe the evangelist comes along and he preaches, you know, wake up, and somehow we hear him, but then it's just an emotional decision, and that rubs off, and we go back into the world. We just go right back into the world. And then the Lord comes along the third time, and he says, wake up, and he says it a little more forcefully, a little more authoritatively, and he says, look it, wake up before tragedy comes to get you to wake up. And so I really believe that, the Lord wants us to wake up before the tragedy comes. Hey? He wants you to wake up before the tragedy of, kids that turn out to follow the devil. And before the tragedy of, a broken marriage, or before the tragedy of a car wreck, or before the tragedy of some life-threatening disease. God wants us to wake up spiritually. Are you awake spiritually tonight? Are you awake spiritually? Well, I want us to take a little look at the Word of God here and see whether or not you are awake spiritually tonight. First of all, to see whether you are awake spiritually, you need to look at your watch. You need to look at your watch. Now, not the watch on your hand, okay? That's not the watch. We don't want you to look at your watch, amen? I don't look at mine. You know, it's like the little boy that went to a Baptist church for the first time. He's visiting, his friend brought him, and the little friend that brought this boy to the Baptist church was saying to him, what's that mean? And the little boy belongs to Baptist church, he'd say, well, that means this, you know. And he'd never been to a Baptist church before, this boy, so he's not knowing what's going on. And then he says, what's that mean to this friend that brought him? And he says, well, that means this. And then the pastor gets up to preach, and he takes his watch off, and he lays it down. And the little boy leans over to his Baptist friend, and he says, what's that mean? He says, that doesn't mean anything. All right, so what's that saying? That's saying that watches don't make too much impression on preachers. Amen. They don't look at their watch, and they don't look at clocks. You know, I'm glad you don't have a clock around. Amen. And I'm not talking about looking at your watch. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about looking at whether or not you are watching for the coming of the Lord. Say, look at your watch. What's your attitude towards the coming of Jesus Christ? Are you alarmed at how close it must be? Are you alarmed at how close it must be? I mean, when you're awake spiritually and you see what's going on in this world, I want to tell you something. You're not ho-hum, Jesus coming back. Ho-hum, you know, we've heard that for years, you know, and it's been going on, and people have talked about that, and preachers have talked about that, you know, and ho-hum, ho-hum. No, that's not the attitude of someone who's awake spiritually these days. I want to tell you something. They are alarmed at how close it must be. They are alarmed. Oh, I tell you something. They're walking around their tiptoes, you know? I mean, they are just aware of how close the coming of Jesus Christ back to this earth must be, you see. The emphasis of Romans 13:11 is that now is the time to wake up spiritually. Why? Not because of the coming of the Lord being so close on the basis of the fact that the tribulation scene is all around us, and certainly we see the tribulation signs appearing everywhere. You know, that's not the reason why those who are awake spiritually are alarmed at how close the coming of the Lord must be. They're alarmed because it can happen at any moment. It can happen tonight. Jesus could come. And you know, if he were to come tonight, and you're not saved, you'd be left behind. And you'd go through that horrible tribulation period. I mean, folks, you better get alarmed about being awake spiritually. You better get alarmed about being awake for the coming of the Lord spiritually. Why? Because, if Jesus were to come tonight, you're not saved, you'd be left behind.
Right.
You'd be left behind. You look around and say, hey, where'd that guy go? You know, he's sitting right there. Where'd he go? And you might see a pair of shoes sitting there on the floor. He left his shoes, amen. You know, you might see an overcoat laying where he used to be sitting, you know, and maybe a purse or two around, right? Ladies aren't taking their purses, having them too heavy.
mean, I know. They're too heavy to take that much.
And so you just can't take ladies' purses to heaven, so all those ladies' purses are going to be left behind, say. Because you got, I mean, ladies' purses have, I mean, screwdrivers and hammers. They got guns and grenades and everything. Have you ever picked up your wife's purse? Man, one time I picked my wife, I put my tool out of the almost. I mean, you know, I'd walk around like this for a week, you know. And I'd say something, oh, folks, this is Jesus coming, very alarmed. If you're not saved, He can come tonight and you'd be left behind.
Right.
And you go into that tribulation period. Oh, I tell you something. It's going to be a time of death and suffering, and it's going to be a time of disease and sickness. I mean, it's going to be a time of war and bloodshed. Hey, you don't want to be left behind, folks, when Jesus comes. Let me tell you right now, you don't want to be left behind. Are you a person who's awake spiritually? You see, you cannot be awake spiritually unless you're saved. Are you awake to the coming of the Lord? You better be alarmed about how near it is and get saved. You see, there's two kinds of people that need to wake up. People who are not saved need to wake up. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 14 that without knowing Jesus Christ your Savior, you are dead. The Bible says in verse 14, wherefore He saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. You see, a person who is not saved is dead, spiritually. He's not alive. And therefore, he can't be awake. You can't be awake unless you're alive. Have you ever seen a dead person? Physically dead person? Who's awake? No, they're not awake. You can go pinch them and they're not going to say, ouch. You can go poke them with a needle and they're not going to wake up. See? They're dead. Folks, listen. Why do you need to get saved tonight? It's because if Jesus were to come right now, because you're not saved, you're dead, you wouldn't hear the shout. Dead people can't hear anything, right? I never heard a dead person ever hear anything. You know? I tell you what. If I ever heard someone who is dead and they heard something, I wouldn't stay around them. I'd make an exit where there was an exit. Amen? Listen, spiritually speaking, every one of us come to this world, we're dead in our sins. And we're not alive unto God. I remember how I didn't want to read the Bible when I was growing up. I was dead. I didn't want to pray when I was growing up. I was dead. I didn't want to go to church when I was growing up. I was dead. Oh, I'd go to church, but I'd sit in the back row, you know. I couldn't get out of there fast enough. If Mom wouldn't have made me go, I would have stayed home. I was dead to the things of God. But one day I came to Jesus, I became alive unto God. And now because I'm alive unto God, I can hear the shout of Jesus when He comes. He can come any moment, and I'd be out of here. I'd be home with Him. I wouldn't know the great tribulation period. I thank God He's going to come for those that are saved before the tribulation. Amen?
Amen.
I'm a pre-tribulation. I'm not a post-tribulation. I don't like the word post. I don't go to the post office. I don't eat post hosies. I don't like that word post. Amen? I tell you what, I'm a pre-tribulation. Jesus is coming free. He's going to take me out of this world. He can come tonight. Oh, are you awake spiritually? Are you saved tonight? I think of moms and dads, and I think of the horrible separation that's going to take place when Jesus comes for those who are not saved. I think of a husband. His wife's saved, but he's not saved. You know, oh, he's thinking about getting saved. He's given thought to it, but, oh, not now, someday. I'll tell you something, my friend. That's a trick of the devil to get you to say someday. That's what the devil wants you to do. Say, someday I'll get saved. Someday. Hey, you better get done today, mister. You need to get done today, teenager. You need to know you're saved going to heaven. You can't live with this hope so, think so stuff. You got to know so. Why? Jesus is coming. And there's no second chance after He comes. No second chance for you. After He comes. You need to get saved. Say, oh, I tell you what, it's a sad thing. That can be a husband's left behind. You know, I'm so glad that when Jesus comes, my wife and I are going together.
Amen.
I'm glad that we're going to go up together. We're going to be together. I said to my wife one time, I said, honey, aren't you glad that you are saved and that I'm saved? Because you know what, honey, you know, when Jesus comes, we're going to be the Lord. And you know what? You're going to know me when I'm perfect. And I said, you know what? I'm going to know you when you're perfect too. Wouldn't you like to know your wife when she's absolutely perfect? Well, get saved, see? Because you get saved, your wife's saved, you'll know her when she's absolutely perfect, you know? And folks, listen, Jesus is coming. You need to get saved. You need to become alive with God. You don't become alive with God going to church. There has to be a receiving of Christ as your Savior. He's the life. He's the way. He's the truth. You can't be alive by being baptized spiritually. You can't be alive by believing in God spiritually. You can't be alive. We preached about that last night. You have to come and receive Christ as your Savior. And Jesus Christ comes into your life. And He is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. And He tunes you in to hear that shout when Jesus comes. And He says, come up hither. You'll hear it. You'll hear it whether you live in Denver, Denmark, or whether you live in San Francisco or San Salvador, or whether you live in, wherever you live. You'll hear that shout. Say, if you're saved, if you're alive, but if you're not saved, you won't hear that shout. Are you awake spiritually tonight? Are you saved? Do you know the Lord? You know, the thing that we like to see you do tonight, you know, if you don't know that you're spiritual, if you don't know for sure you're saved, you know what we'd like to see you do? We'd like to see you become alive spiritually. How can you do that? Well, at the end of the sermon, I'm going to give an invitation. I invite you to just come right down here, and we'll have someone take the Bible and show you right from the Bible, a man with a man, a woman with a woman, how you can become alive spiritually, and you know what? Be awake. You see, spiritually. And how can you tell whether you're awake spiritually? And that is, look at your watch. Are you alarmed? Are you ready for the coming of Jesus Christ? If He were to come right now, would you be awake to His call? Would you be awake to hear Him say, come up hither? You see, the only way it's going to be so is you have to be saved. But you know, this passage of Scripture not only is that which shows us that people who are not saved need to wake up, but this passage of Scripture shows us that those who are saved, who are Christians, they need to be awake. Do you know that many times Christians can fall asleep?
Yeah.
Christians can fall asleep spiritually. They can just doze off. You know, I've seen Christians doze off in church. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've been preached away and I've seen some guy just, you know, doze right off, you know. And I figure, well, if I put him to sleep, I have a right to wake him up, so I throw a book at him. I just hit him square right between the eyes with a book. And you know, they have a tendency to wake up after that. And, I figure if I put you to sleep, I have a right to wake you up. Amen?
Amen.
You know something? God's people, many of them, are asleep spiritually. And they need to wake up. And that's the real thrust of this passage of Scripture, is for God's people who are saved, and who are alive, to wake up. Many Christians are sleeping today. Peter fell asleep spiritually. You know, this man who one day said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, he fell asleep spiritually. And you remember what he did? He cursed. You know, it's amazing when you fall asleep spiritually how your language can change. And how you can begin to tell stuff, you know, dirty stories, and all of a sudden a cuss word comes out. Some of those old words that you used to use a lot in your life. You know, when you fall asleep spiritually, pretty soon those old cuss words and maybe a dirty story or, some action like that. Peter, I mean, folks, if Peter, a man who one day said, thou art the Christ, I mean, he was really awake spiritually. When other disciples, they said, you're one of the prophets, or you're one of, that's what some of those other stuff said. And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Oh, was he ever awake spiritually? See, he was the one who made that tremendous statement, thou art the Christ. And Jesus said, blessed art thou. You know, it's blessed when you're awake spiritually. You know, when you're awake spiritually, oh, are you ever blessed in the eyes of God? God pronounces blessing upon those who are awake spiritually. And he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood that revealed it. You know? I have not revealed to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. But you know, Peter fell asleep. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus, and the great hour of Jesus' need, when Jesus was considering going to the cross, and he was fighting and wrestling with taking upon himself his purest father's person, all the sins of the world, and he was sweating as it were drops of blood. And Jesus had taken Peter, James, and John into the garden with him to be a prayer support. And so he goes to get that encouragement of Peter, James, and he finds that all those disciples are sleeping. Oh, dear friend, I'll tell you something. Jesus Christ is looking for some people who won't be sleeping in these days just before he comes. He wants Christians to be awake spiritually. Awake to prayer, awake to soul winning, awake to serving God. Awake to living a holy life and a pure life. Awake to the things of the Lord. See, that's what he wants. Peter fell asleep. As a result of falling asleep, he cursed, he swore. Jonah fell asleep in the Bible. Jonah was a man of God, and yet he fell asleep spiritually. He didn't want to do what God wanted to do. He stopped wanting to do what God wanted to do. You know, that's how you can tell when you're asleep spiritually. Have you stopped wanting to live the way God wants you to live? Have you stopped, wanting to do what God wants you to do? God wants you to be in church. You know, God wants you to read the Bible. God wants you. Have you stopped wanting to do what God? Hey, that's when you're asleep spiritually. Jonah didn't want to go down to Nineveh. He didn't like the Ninevites. They were Gentiles. Jonah was a Jew. And he didn't want to go down there. God said, I want you to go preach. And Jonah fell asleep and he went into the whale, into the ship. You remember going to Tarshish? And he was going the exact opposite direction of the will of God for his life. And he was just consumed with what he wanted to do and not what God wanted to do. And he's down there in the boat and he's asleep. And there's a great big storm comes. And, you know, sleeping Christians can sure make it rough on a lot of other people.
Yeah.
You show me a sleeping Christian dad, it's going to be awful hard on his wife. You show me a sleeping Christian dad, it's going to be awful hard on the kids. Dads need to be awake spiritually for their kids. Dads need to be awake spiritually for the wives. Oh, wives and moms and need to be awake spiritually for their children. The reason why the devil's getting so many of our kids today in our churches is moms and dads are not awake spiritually.
Amen.
They're falling asleep. They're not having a family altar anymore. They're not praying with their family. They're not praying with their kids. They are not leading their children spiritually. They're falling asleep. And I'll tell you something. It's when Christians fall asleep that the devil moves in and he gets, ground, and he takes over families, and he takes over kids' lives, and he takes over a church, and a church becomes dead and carnal and worldly, because preachers can fall asleep too, and Christians can fall asleep, and deacons can fall asleep, and Sunday school teachers can fall asleep, and as a result of that, there's a deadness, and there's a satanic invasion in the home and in the church, in the nation. You know what the problem with America is? Christians have fallen asleep.
Yeah.
That's the problem in America. Preachers in our country have fallen asleep.
Yeah.
I tell you what, there are so much preachers. Listen, the problem with America is not politics, it's the pulpits.
Yeah.
It's the pulpits of America. We don't have preachers preaching the things of God like they used to. They're just giving little sermonettes for Christians so they can smoke their cigarettes. That's what they're doing. Say, and we need a spiritual awakening in our churches. Why do people need to wake up? Why do you need to wake up and get saved tonight? Because Jesus is coming. It could be tonight, and you need to wake up and get saved. Because if you're not saved, he comes back tonight. You'd be left behind to go through the most horrible time this world's ever known. It'll make the Holocaust look like a Sunday school picnic. It will make we have known in war and bloodshed look like a Sunday school picnic. The tribulation period is going to be a horrible time. Listen, you don't want to be here when it breaks loose. And you don't have to be here. You get saved. And Jesus could come and take you out of this world when he comes. He'll take you. He'll take you. He won't leave you behind. Oh, are you awake spiritually? Why do people need to wake up as Christians? Because Jesus is coming any day. He's coming. All right, you need to take a look at your watch to see whether or not you are spiritually awake. Are you alarmed at His coming? Are you ready for His coming? Are you saved? Do you know the Lord? You see, as your personal Lord and Savior. Then you need to take a look at your works to see whether or not you're awake spiritually. Look at verse number 12, please, in your Bible. The night is far spent, the days at hand. I'm reading Romans chapter 13, verse 12. The night is far spent, the days at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, the Bible says. Let us put on the armor of life. Now, let me ask you something. What are you doing now for Jesus or not doing? What are you doing for Jesus now or not doing in the way of works? There are two kinds of works in the life of a Christian who's awake. All right, two kinds of works. And you see it here in this passage of Scripture. The first kind of works in the life of Christians awake are negative works. All right, note that. Cast off the works of darkness. That's negative, isn't it? And the second kind of works is positive. Put on the armor of life. If I was to go in the parking lot here, and you know, I went out and I opened up the hood of a pastor's car, and I reached in there and I pulled the negative pole off, or negative cable off his negative pole on his battery. All right, I just took that negative cable right away. You know what? And pastor went out after the service was over, and he put his key in the car in the ignition, and he went to turn on. Would that motor start?
No.
Why? Because to have a motor start, you need the negative pole and cable, and you need the positive pole and cable. Say. So, you know what? To be awake spiritually involves two kinds of works. Negative works in your life and positive works in your life. Now, please note with me the negative works in our life that need to be in our life to be awake spiritually. It means this, that, you know, as a person who is awake spiritually, it means that you're making changes in your life. You're seeing things in your life that ought not to be there. See, there are some negative things that you know are holding you back, keeping you from honoring and glorifying the Lord, that ought not to be there. You're seeing some things that need to change in your life as far as something that is not glorifying and honoring to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, one of the outstanding characteristics of a person who has been saved is 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passing away. Behold, all things are becoming new. Now, folks, that's continuous. You know, those changes that take place in our life just don't take place when we get saved. Now, they'll be there, you're saying. There'll be some changes. There'll be things that you're not doing, and there's some things that you're going to be doing that you never were doing before, and some things that you used to do before you got saved that now you're not doing. Say, if there's no change in your life after you receive the Lord, you're not saved. Okay? The Bible says that is the evidence of whether or not we have really been saved. The Bible says there are some things that are changing in our life if we've received Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ comes to your life, He doesn't leave you the same as you were.
Amen.
He changes you. It's all for the good. It's all for the good. I mean, changes you. He makes you a better dad. Makes you a better husband. He makes you a better teenager, a better young person. He changes you. He changes you. You know, he makes you better physically. You know, it helps your health. He enables you even in the health matters. He changes you. Say, He changes you. And the Bible tells us that if there's no change going on in your life, probably you're not saved or you are asleep spiritually. See, if you're not making changes in your life, if you're not seeing things in your life that aren't glorifying the Lord, and as a result they're not being glorifying the Lord, you're getting them out of your life. If that's not taking place in your life, you know what? It's because you're either not saved or you've fallen asleep. Note some of the things that you will put off if you're awake spiritually. Here's some things that you'll be putting off if you are awake spiritually. Look at your Bible, the Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 8. The Bible says, but now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man and his deeds. Now, those are some of the things, if you are awake spiritually, that you're putting out of your life. You're putting those things out. Why are you putting those things out? Because they don't glorify the Lord. Lying never has glorified God. Lying to your parents, lying to your wife, lying to your children, lying never glorifies God. You know, getting angry never glorifies God. Carrying on forgiveness never glorifies God. And so you're throwing that stuff out of your life, see, because you are awake spiritually. See, you're throwing those things out of your life because you're awake spiritually. All right? You know, I never will forget here about a man. He was a Christian man, and he took his computer outside with the baseball bat. He took his computer outside of his house. He brought that baseball bat out, and he put that computer down, and he took that baseball bat, and he smashed that computer. Now, why did he do that? Because there was something that he was doing on that computer that was not glorifying to Jesus Christ. And when you're awake spiritually, you are seeing things that need to change in your life. All right? You're dealing with stuff that is not glorifying to God. You're throwing it out. But when you're not awake spiritually, you're keeping them. You're just keeping that stuff in your life that's not glorifying to God. And you're looking at stuff on the computer, you know, that doesn't glorify God, that body one bit. You know, you're reading stuff that doesn't glorify God, literature, magazines. You're watching stuff on TV that doesn't glorify God, and it doesn't bother you one bit. Why? You're asleep, or you're not saved. It's one of the two. You're either not saved, or you're asleep spiritually. Say, God says that's how you can tell when you're awake spiritually. See, look at your works, the negative works. First of all, look at your negative works, the Bible says, and then look at your positive works. Look at the positive works here. That is, put on the armor of light. Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 4 through 7, listen what the Bible says here. 1 Thessalonians 5, 4 through 7. But ye brethren are not in darkness. Talking about Christians now. We're not in darkness as Christians. We've been taken out of the darkness and we've been put in the light, the Bible says. The Bible says there, you're not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunk in the night. See, the Bible tells us very plainly there that people who are saved are children of the light, not children of the darkness. That's what it's saying. We're children of the light. We're not children of the darkness. Now, what if I came to church this coming Sunday night? Looks like I'll probably be here Sunday night. Probably listen to the preacher preach. But what if I came to church Sunday night and you know what? I had my pajamas on. What would you think? You know, if I came to church Sunday night and I had my pajamas on, I'd hope you think, boy, there's something wrong with Brother Gilmore. I mean, those are nighttime clothes. I mean, that's bedtime clothes, you know? And, you know, I mean, it's not bedtime yet. And you'd be really shocked, wouldn't you? You should be. If I came to church dressed with the clothes of the night, see? It's still daytime, all right? Now notice, if you will, there's something wrong with a Christian that is putting on the night clothes of the world. Yeah. See? Something wrong. You know, with a lady that's wanting to put on the clothes that the way the people of the night dress. People of the night being unsaved people. See, saved people are to dress different than unsaved people. See, that's what God says. You know, when you're putting on the clothes of the world, you are thinking like the world. That's why you're doing it. You're thinking like the world thinks. You know, what's the world think? Well, oh, hang on. You know, hey, show off your body. That's what the world thinks, amen? That's the way the world thinks. See, you're thinking like the world. You are acting like the world. You are looking like the world. And the Bible says in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If you didn't love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Ephesians, James chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 that we're not to be conformed to this world, but we're to be transformed. Say, this is a child of God. One who's truly saved is making changes in his clothing. Amen. Do you need to make some changes in your clothing? Are you putting on the clothes of the world? Are you putting on the clothes the way the night people dress, the night people being unsaved people? Say, we're children of the light. We're supposed to dress as children of light. We're supposed to have the clothes of the children of light. We're not to have the clothes of the darkness of the world. Say, so are you awake spiritually? You can look at what you're putting on. What kind of clothes you put on? Ladies, what kind of clothes do you put on? Bikinis? What kind of clothes you put on? Wake up, ladies! Are you awake spiritually? Are you just putting on the clothes of the world, the clothes of people that aren't saved, and you know, you're just dressing like they're the tight formed clothes, and every part of your body is being revealed, and lustful eyes are looking at you. The men whose eyes are filled with lust are lusting after you. You know what? You're just as much a part of their adulterous thoughts as they are guilty of looking at you with adulterous thoughts. You're just as much. You're encouraging it. Listen, are you one who's awake spiritually? What kind of clothes are you putting on? Look at some of the clothes that we ought to be putting on. Some of the things that we ought to be putting on and that we will be putting on if we are awake spiritually. Listen to what the Bible says in Colossians chapter number 2. It says, we'll be putting on a godly attitude. Colossians chapter number 3, rather, verse number 12 says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy, beloved, vows of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. Hey, are you putting those things on? Are you forgiving people? Are you being patient, forbearing with other people? Or are you impatient and you just unkind and you got not a humble mind, but a proud, and you're walking in proud arrogance? See, those are things that are being put on by those who are awake spiritually. Mercies. Being merciful to people. Being merciful. You know? God's been merciful to you. How can you not be merciful to someone else who perhaps has wronged you? You know? Oh, I'm going to get back at that guy. Where's your mercy? You'll be putting on mercy. Say, if you're awake spiritually, you will be. If you're awake spiritually, you will be. And you know what? You'll want to. If you're awake spiritually, humbleness of mind. You see, kindness, being kind. Did you ever wonder why a lady sometimes marries such an ugly guy? I mean, the guy's as ugly as homemade sin. And here's this lady, and she's very attractive. Why would a lady ever marry this guy? You know why? Because you know what ladies really like the most? Above everything else, they like someone who's going to be kind. And you know, the lady saw in that husband a kind man. And the desire of a woman is the kindness of a man. Are you putting on kindness, man? Being kind to your wife, being kind to your children. I don't mean being a walkover. I'm not saying that, you know, you got to be kind to them and let them go to the movie theater. You know that. And I'm not saying, you know, I got to be kind to them and let them smoke this. Let them be kind to them, let them run around with kids that are worldly and ungodly. No, that's not being kind. That's being stupid.
Right.
You know, that's not being godly. That's not being the dad God wants you to be. You're supposed to watch for the purity of your kid. I'm not talking about that kind of kindness. That's not kindness. I'm talking about being kind. Helpful. Helpful to your wife. Once in a while, I help my wife iron some clothes. You know, I say, honey, you know, I'll take some of your iron for you. You know what? I even do dishes for her once in a while. Oh, I know you ladies really love me now. I'll tell you what. Hey, listen. When you're awake spiritually, you are trying to be a kind husband. And you're trying to be a kind wife. And a kind mother. Are you being kind to your pastor? Are you being kind to his wife? Hey, when we're awake spiritually, these are the things that we're putting on. See? It's a positive stuff. This is stuff that is attractive to us. We're not attracted to putting on the night clothes of the world. We're attracted by putting on the day clothes of kindness. humbleness of mind. Are you awake spiritually? Are you putting on the Word of God? Look at verse 16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know, when you're awake spiritually, boy, you can't get enough of the Bible. I mean, coming Sunday morning, sign off, you want to be there Sunday night.
Amen.
You know, you want to be there for prayer meeting.
Amen.
I mean, you're putting on the Word of God daily. I mean, it's not enough just to come Sunday and Wednesday night. You're daily getting the Bible. You're putting time in the Word
Amen.
Of God. You know, people say, are you in the Facebook, Brother Gilmore? Are you in Facebook, they say? I'm not in Facebook, okay? But I am in Facebook in this way. I am for having my face in the book. And that's what we need. We need some dads and moms who are awake spiritually and say, you know what? I want to get my face in this book and know my Bible better and spend more time in it and read it. No way. Oh, we need to have our face in the book. And you know something? It's not going to be something that is not a strange thing with you. It's going to be something that is very, very evident in your life. Do your kids see your face in the book, Mom?
Amen.
Your kids ever see your face in the Bible at home? They ought to. If you're awake spiritually, your kids need to see Mom, your face in the book. Listen, if you're awake spiritually, husband, do your kids ever see you with your face in the Bible? Well, they see your face in the front of the television screen. They see your face in front of the newspaper. They see your face in front of some sporting magazine. But listen, if you're awake spiritually, they need to see your face in the Word of God. Are you awake spiritually, Dad? Or are you falling asleep? Or maybe you're not even saved because you don't even want to have your... You don't even read the Bible. Coming to hear the Bible preached is a big chore for you. Oh, listen. Are you awake spiritually? Are you awake spiritually? All right, the third thing. If you're awake spiritually, you know what? You can see whether you are by taking a look at your watch. Are you alarmed at how close the coming of the Lord is? Are you ready for Him to come? Because you're alive spiritually. You could hear that shout if you were to come right now. And you'd be caught up and you wouldn't be left behind to go through that tribulation period. Alright? Secondly, take a look at your works. What kind of works you got in your life? You have the works that are negative. In other words, you're getting out of your life stuff that's not glorifying to God. Stuff that is not really bringing honor to the Lord. You're throwing it out. You're casting it out. You know, or are you just letting it stay there? Well, that's pretty... You know, I want these works in my life that aren't honoring Jesus. I know they're not honoring Jesus. I'm just going to keep them there because I kind of like them. You know? You're not awake spiritually. Say, all right? Are you awake spiritually? Your works, are you putting on? Do you have an attraction to put on things that the Lord wants you to put on? The Word of God. Putting on godly music. By the way, I didn't get to that part, but it talks there in Colossians chapter 3, putting on psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I mean, listen, if you're awake spiritually, you're listening to godly music, not the rock and roll, the worldly music of this whole world, the country western. That stuff is not what you're listening to. You're listening to godly music. You know what? Music's so essential to being awake spiritually. You know the first thing that happens when a person falls asleep spiritually? Number one, they stop reading their Bible. And then number two, they start listening to the music of the world.
That's right.
They start listening to the music of the world.
Right.
And I'll tell you something, pretty soon they're asleep. They're just snoring away spiritually, just asleep. You see, when they should be awake for God. Alright, lastly, if you and I are awake spiritually, number one, we need to take a look at our watch. Number two, we need to take a look at our works. And lastly, we need to take a look at our walk. Look at the walk of those who are awake spiritually. The Bible says in the book of Romans and chapter number 13, if you will go back there, Romans chapter 13 and verse number 12, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. Now, if you look at that verse, you'll find that there's two kinds of walks there. Number one, there's the improper walk of someone who is asleep spiritually. And number two, there is a proper walk of someone who is awake spiritually. Let's look at the improper walk of someone who is asleep spiritually. First of all, he's walking in rioting. You know what that word means? It means he's loving the party. He's going to where the parties are. He's a party animal. He loves to get in the party atmosphere, you see. And he is in the parties of the world. You know, this world loves a party, doesn't it?
Yeah.
This loves a party. I mean, everybody talks about a party. I want a party. You know, I want to go where the drugs are. You know, that's where parties, you know, they usually have drugs there. I want to go party. They got the alcohol there, and they got the immorality there, and the immodest clothing there. Oh, that's the party person. I heard so many tragic stories of parties.
Yeah.
People dying, young people dying, overdose of drugs, people being murdered. Raped, date rape, they get them drunk and then they commit immorality with them. Oh, I tell you something, parties. Oh, listen, I know two young people got involved in parties. And you know what? They were coming away from the parties that they were in. The big old warehouse up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And they had the party stuff there. I mean, they had the booze and the drugs. The music was just blaring away. These two Christian young people, they were asleep spiritually, you know. And they were hanging around there, and they came out of there, and you know, a big old limousine drove up, and a big guy got out of there. He was slicked up, you know, he had money and all that kind of thing. And those two Christian kids made a smart remark to that guy, two boys, you know. And they weren't humble. They weren't putting on humbleness. They were putting on arrogance and pride. And you know what that big guy did? He took out a knife and he gutted both those teenage boys right there in the parking lot. Party. Stay away from party. Listen, if you're weak spiritually, you're not going to be in that kind of atmosphere, young person.
Amen.
And you're not going to let your kids be in that kind of atmosphere, mom and dad.
Amen.
Listen, you're going to take a stand against parties. You're not going to be a party animal. Now, you know what? When you raise spirits, you love the fellowship with God's people, amen? Get together with Christians, you know, and have some good godly music playing and have a good coffee there, amen? Fellowship and coffee just go good. You know, that's a heavenly drink, coffee. That's what you drink out there, you know. And you get good coffee and you have some good food and you fellowship. And you know, you can go home after that and you don't have to wake up with a headache. And you don't have to wake up thinking, you know, what happened after I took all those beers? Who raped me? Who gave me herpes? Or you know, you don't have to think anything about that, see?
Amen, preacher.
Christian fellowship is a lot better than worldly party.
That's right.
You know something? Hey, are you awake spiritually? You know, the improper walk of someone who is not walking awake spiritually, but walking asleep, it's a walk of rioting. And then the Bible goes on to say, it's a walk of drunkenness. That's what partying leads to. It leads to drunkenness. There's always booze there. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. I'm not walking in drunkenness. You say, I just take a sip or two. Let me say this to you, my friend. There is no such thing as social drinking in the Bible. The Bible condemns the use of alcoholic beverage.
Amen.
Listen, that's what the Bible makes very plain. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, God says, wine is a mucker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever sees thereby is not wise. God didn't say one little bottle of booze, it's okay. He says wine. He didn't say a six pack. He said wine. He said one. Listen, the most dangerous drink you ever have in your life is the first one. No one ever became a drunkard, but when they took their first drink, I thank God I've never touched alcohol with these lips. You know one of the reasons why? The biggest reason is I got saved. And God took away all that. I don't have any desire for alcohol. But you know something? I was raised in a home with drinking. And I remember my dad coming home and beating up my mother. And I remember the fights and the arguments. And I remember seeing my dad laying in his vomit. And I remember some of those horrible scenes. And I said, alcohol, it's awful. I never want to take a touch of it. You know what? I'm so glad I got saved. Because you know what? If I had not saved, I probably would have given in. There's such a pressure to drink booze.
Yeah.
Such a pressure. I mean, it's advertised all the time. Take this drink and then you'll just laugh with all the other people. You know, you got these people drinking these booze. Ha, 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 ha. What a bunch of lies.
Amen.
What a bunch of lies. I know it's lies. Because I have seen the lie of
is and what it can do to a marriage and what it can do to a young... My dad came home sometimes and you know, he was so drunk. You know, I'll tell you what, I literally wet my pants. I was so scared one night. I said, I'll never touch that stuff.
Amen.
The walk of someone who's asleep spiritually is, you know what, they're saying, well, you know, I'm not drinking a six-pack, but I'm taking a little sip here and there. Listen, the Bible says in Proverbs 23:31, don't look at the booze, let alone sip at it when it's moving itself or right in the cup. Don't even look at it, let alone sip it. Let alone take one drink of it. Don't even look at it. The Bible is very plain, dear friend. Booze is something that doesn't go together with being awake spiritually.
Right.
It goes with being asleep spiritually. And in our pulpits across America, and some of our Christian schools across America said the same. There are people writing books that are supporting the drinking of booze. We got so many schools, Christian schools, that have gone asleep.
Right. Amen, preacher.
We've got so many preachers in pulpits. Gone asleep.
Yeah.
Says, okay, go ahead and take a little booze here and there. It's good for your health. Good for your health. My friend, listen, if you want to be healthy, drink grape juice. Pure grape juice. That will give you health. Alcohol has never, ever helped anybody's health.
Amen.
And I challenge anybody to prove otherwise. It's not true. It's a lie. Then maybe doctors been paid off by the booze companies to say it to you.
Yeah, that's right.
Are you awake spiritually? Oh, these are the characteristics of someone who's not awake spiritually. Their walk is a walk of drunkenness. Their walk is a walk of chambering. What's that mean? They're shacking up. They're shacking up with people that aren't their husbands. They're people who are not their wives. They're shacking up without the matter of marriage. They're cohabitating. The Bible condemns that. Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable, better than defiled, whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. 1 Peter 2:11, abstain from flesh and lust, a war against the soul. 2 Timothy 2:2, flee youthful lust. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, abstain from fornication. All these verses say one thing, no cohabitation before marriage. You say, well, preacher, I'm not doing that, but wait a minute, some of you are shacking up with TV programs of immodesty. You're shacking up with a computer that has computer pictures. You're shacking up with a cell phone that gives all kinds of stuff on that cell phone of immorality. You're shacking... Oh, you may not be shacking up with some woman, but you're shacking up with some place of immorality. Cell phone. TV. Computer. Magazines. You're shacking up. Folks, that's a characteristic of someone who's asleep spiritually. Mm-hmm. You're not awake spiritually. Then goes on to say, and not walking in wantonness. You see, a person who is asleep spiritually is walking in wantonness. Now, that's not Chinese food, okay? Wonton soup, you know, that's how we talk about there. It's talking about an uncontrolled desire for pleasure. In other words, pleasure is your God. You live for pleasure. You know, if your pleasure gets in the way of going to church, guess what gets out of your life? It's going to church. You know, if your pleasure gets in the way of reading your Bible, guess what you forsake? It's not your pleasure, it's the Bible that you don't read. See, that is what people who are asleep spiritually are doing. They are getting into their pleasures, and they're putting their pleasures ahead of what God wants in their life. Reading the Bible and praying and being in church, going soul winning. You know, every Saturday morning, if we're really awake spiritually, this church is going to be filled with people who have time to go out and win the lost.
Amen.
Their pleasure is not, you know, going to the mall, but their pleasure is to go and do what God wants to do.
Amen.
Reach a lost and dying world. Are you awake spiritually tonight?
Amen.
Are you awake spiritually? It's a hard-hitting message, isn't it? But folks, listen, we need to wake up in this country. And we need to wake up in our Christianity. We've gone asleep spiritually. What's the proper walk of someone who's awake spiritually? The Bible says they're walking in light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. The Bible says they're walking worthy of the Lord. In other words, everything they look at, does this please God? In other words, everything they do, that's the first question they ask. Will this please God? If I buy this car, will it please God? If I wear these clothes, will it please God? If I go to this place, will it please God? Everything they look at in life is, does it please the Lord? And folks, when you don't live that way, you're heading for trouble. You show me a Christian that's not living to please God in every area of their life, I'll show you a Christian that's heading for trouble. Are you heading for trouble tonight? Because you're not living to please God. My friend, a person who's awake spiritually is living to please God. All right? Are you awake spiritually? Does your watch show it? Does your work show it? Does your walk show it? How can you correct your watch, your work, your walk? How can you do it when you see that you are asleep spiritually? How can you correct it? There is only one way to correct it, and that is to come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just to come back to Jesus and say, Lord, forgive me. I have fallen asleep spiritually. Lord, would you please forgive me? I need a spiritual waking in my life. Lord, would you wake me up spiritually in my walk? Lord, would you wake me up spiritually in my work? Lord, would you wake me up spiritually in my watch? Jesus is coming soon, friend. Will you be found awake when he comes? Years ago, there was a great general by the name of General Napoleon. And General Napoleon was out checking his guards. His guards in the front lines. And he was walking along, you know. And he came up to the first guard. And the first guard was at nighttime and he's doing this. First guard says, who goes there? And General Napoleon says, it's me, General Napoleon. I'm just checking out my guards and see if you guys are, doing your jobs. And so he commends that guard. And so he moves down the line further. And he comes up to where another guard ought to be. And he says, the guard says, halt, who goes there? And Napoleon says, General Napoleon said, it's me, General Napoleon, just seeing if you're doing your job. And he commends the guy for being alert, being ready. And he moves a bit further down towards another guard position. And as he gets close to that guard position, there's no halt, who goes there. He comes up in that guard and he finds him fast asleep. His weapon is laying down beside him. He's taken his helmet off and he's fast asleep. General Napoleon doesn't wake him up. He decides he's just going to stay there all night until that soldier wakes up on his own. Wee hours of the morning, all of a sudden, this soldier's sleep begins to stir and he wakens and he opens his eyes and there is his great general, General Napoleon. And he is so ashamed that he was asleep when the great general appeared. My friend, I want to tell you something. If Jesus Christ comes tonight, and he could, and you're asleep, you'll be greatly ashamed.
Right.
You'll be greatly ashamed. I don't know about you folks, but when my Savior comes, I'd like to have Him find me awake. I don't want to be asleep. I want to be on guard. I want to be awake. Are you awake spiritually tonight? Let's pray. Father.